Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you're, I know I sound different because I am, my voice is different today. I've got about a 60% case of laryngitis, but that 40% is enough for me to keep going. And so, as I've said before, as I've been saying all day, and it's actually, I don't think it's worse now. This is the end of my second hour, and so I don't think it's any worse than it was when we started out. But as I've said before, I can't encourage you and to persevere and to be resilient and to show up every day, turn the lights on, turn the lights off. I can't talk about those things on my show as an important marker of success if I don't demonstrate that. And so at least you know, if you didn't know it before, I practice what I preach. Somebody who knows all about that is our good buddy John Warlow. John is an entrepreneur himself. He started his own company. He grew it into a company that a bigger company wanted to buy, and he sold it and just did a great job with getting his company ready to go and to be successful and then to sell it. And he did that successfully. And now he's written a book that's sort of about that. It's called Built to Sell, Turn Your Business into One You Can Sell. And he's our good friend John Warlow. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me. You sound a little bit like Al Pacino in Scarface.
Well, see, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's the story I'm sticking with. And I'm actually thinking maybe, you know, the ladies might even think this is a little sexy. What do you think?
I think so. That'd be a girl would be a Demi Moore voice.
Exactly. That's the story I'm sticking to anyway. But I appreciate you. Appreciate you hanging in there with me. Congratulations on your book. I know it was a labor of love.
It was, Jim. You know, I you mentioned out of the gate, I used to own a research company, and when I researched small business owners, one of the things I found just fascinating was how many of them now want to exit their business. You know, in the wake of the Great Recession, it was a bit of a wake-up call for a lot of small business owners, and now the statistics show that 50% of business owners want to sell their company in the
right.
next 10 years,
yeah.
but only 1% get it done. So there's just this huge gap between the percentage who want to sell and the folks that do. I lived it myself. I don't know if you know this, but I actually went to try to sell my research company in 2004. And I went to visit with an M&A guy, a business broker, and I said, you know, what's it worth? We built it up to, you know, 25 employees. I thought it was worth it, you know, gold mine. And he said, you know, let me ask you two questions. Number one, who does the selling? Number two, who is the kind of product guru? And I answered both those questions saying, well, I do a lot of the selling, and I'm the kind of product guy.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, there's nothing I can sell. And so it was really a four-year odyssey to make that change to make a sellable business.
Well, you know, over the years, as you know, I've been doing my show for about 12 and a half years now. There's not one topic that we've talked about more on this show than buying and selling businesses with the number of people, especially my good buddy Russell Brown, and we've talked about the need if you're going to sell your business, it's got to be in a different kind of a place than the business that you ran the way you ran it for 10 or 20 or 30 years. The business you sell has got to look different, doesn't it?
It sure does. And, you know, when I got that bad news from the M&A guy, it was a little bit like, you know, telling a new mom her baby was the ugliest in the ward. It was terrible.
Yeah. It hurt your feelings,
but I went out and kind of looked at what we sold and said, what's scalable? Like, what is it that we sell that is scalable? And we sold a ton of stuff, as most business owners do, and a lot of it was really dependent on me personally, and I said, well, what is scalable? And I use three criteria around to define what is scalable. I say, what is teachable to employees, what is valuable to customers, and what is repeatable, meaning people have to buy it again and again and again. And it's the products that meet those three criteria, repeatable, teachable and valuable that are the raw material for a scalable product.
But you also have to learn how to replace yourself, don't you?
You sure do. And a lot of people think, oh, I've got to share equity with my key employees. That's how I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really encourage people not to share equity. I think there's more elegant, more simple ways to motivate and retain employees.
Yeah, in a small business, splitting equity in a small business is a very, very dicey thing to do.
Well, it's not worth anything, right? If you're the majority shareholder and the minority shareholders don't have any say in when and if you sell your business, it's not fair to the employees.
Right.
Because, they're going to be wanting you to sell the business. You may not be ready to sell
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Hold on that thought. We're going to take a quick break. John Warlow is our guest, folks. Warillow is the name. And the book is called Built to Sell. John and I will be right back. 20 till. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging with me. Thanks for staying with me today. Even though my voice is not up to par, it's a little subpar. The show continues to go on because we always have above par guests. Some of the best experts in the world in our brain trust, like our good friend John Warlow, who's with us right now. John has a body of work that he's deposited with us over the years on our website. If you want to check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find John and the 1,500 plus other brain trust members, the largest community of small business experts on the planet. And lots of other stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. John is the author of the new book I'm very excited about, Built to Sell, Turn Your Business into One You Can Sell. And John, again, congratulations. Tell the audience where they can find your book.
Absolutely. Amazon is the best place to go, or just simply visit builttosell.com, and it'll show you some different retailers.
Great. Check it out, folks. We're talking about that very thing, and you were saying, we were talking earlier as we went to the break about getting your business ready to sell. And I appreciate you sharing the fact that you thought you had a business that was ready to go, and somebody hauled you up short and said, you don't get it. Your business is not ready to sell. And you had to go back and do about a four-year project to get it ready, didn't you?
I did. And the first step was really identify a product that can scale. And again, the three criteria, teachable, valuable, and repeatable. The second step for me was to actually put a positive cash flow cycle in place, meaning we get paid before we do the work. And that is important when you get acquired, because acquiring companies have to commit working capital to your business. And the more they have to commit, the less they're willing to pay for your business. If you have a positive cash flow cycle by charging up front, you actually get a higher multiple when you go to sell your business. And so we started to package our service like it looked like a product, and we actually charged up front for it. We're socialized to buy products and spend the money first before using the product. Think you go to Costco and you buy toilet paper, you expect to pay for it before you use it.
Exactly.
Whereas services we're so often buying or paying for after the fact. So the more you productize your service, the better.
I'm glad to hear you say that. That's something I've talked about. I learned that years ago when I started my own consulting company, when I first started my small business 21 years ago, I learned about productizing the services that I had, and it not only helped me with my cash flow, it helped my customers to understand what they were going to get a little bit better too.
You bet. And it makes you so much more referable.
Right.
So many small businesses rely on word of mouth as their chief kind of sales engine, and the more you focus on what you do and you productize it, the easier you are to refer.
Absolutely. All right, what are some other things we need to do?
Well, you got to hire a sales team. So many small business owners are the number one rainmaker for their company.
That's right.
They're the best salesperson.
That's right.
They're the most passionate about what they do. And as long as you want to die in the saddle and you want to be in your job forever, that's okay. That's okay. You can be the number one salesperson.
And there's nothing wrong. You said that's okay. I just want to emphasize, folks, there's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead, John.
Absolutely. It's the greatest job in the world. being a business owner. You have tons of flexibility, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But some people get to a point where they just want out. They want to travel. They want to retire. They want to start another business. Whatever the reasons are that you want to sell your business,
right?
Some people get to that point. And if you do, you've got to replace yourself as the number one salesperson. And I found salespeople, I don't know about you, Jim, but I found salespeople come in two flavors. There are people that are good at selling services and good at selling product.
Right.
And my advice is find the people that are good at selling products, even if you're in a service company.
Mm, I like
that. Because the service people love reinventing the wheel, right? They love reinventing the product, coming up with a custom solution. Well, custom is the enemy of sellable.
Why is that? Explain why that is.
Yeah, because if every time you have to customize your product, guess who owns the customization? You, because you're the business owner with no technical expertise.
Right.
And so if, as long as they go off-piste and the customer says, yeah, I like it, but I want it in these three variations, guess who gets involved? The business owner with the deepest technical knowledge. As soon as you customize, you're not scalable.
You can't. That's a good point. The customization is the enemy of scaling. And this is one of the issues. This is one of the differentiators between a big business that wants to, a business that wants to grow and scale, and a business that wants to stay the size that they are, and it's one of the differentiators. It's a way for a small business to actually differentiate themselves with customers. It's a good selling strategy to customize. It's not a good growth strategy. That's what you're saying.
Exactly, and a lot of business owners use their profit and loss statement as their report card at the end of the year. How much money did I make?
Right.
What I'd encourage people to do is add another key reporting tool to that, and that is your valuation statement, meaning how much is my business worth in the marketplace?
Right.
Because that's a different calculation oftentimes.
Don't you have...
If people are keen... Yeah, I was going to say...
Haven't you come up with a system for that?
We have, women have a pregnancy test, right? It takes 2 minutes and you can find out if you're pregnant. Business owners have a test that takes 10 questions and will allow you to see if you have a sellable business. And if you do have a sellable business, how much you could get for it in the marketplace. It's called the Sellability Index Quiz. It takes 4 minutes to complete, and you can take it at builttosell.com. And that'll give you a sense of if you have a sellable business, and again, how much you might get for it in the marketplace.
4 minutes?
It's a way to really evaluate it.
4 minutes?
That's builttosell.com.
That's pretty good. So check that out, folks. And don't kill the messenger if you get your feelings hurt. He's giving you good information. Whatever it is, it's going to be good information. Tintel, John Warlow, and I will be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
You still got to try.
The late, great James Brown, the godfather of soul. Welcome back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me today. Thank you for putting up with my voice today and for allowing me to continue to do what I do, even though I'm a little bit not quite up to speed on the quality of the voice. As I've said before, it doesn't hurt, but we continue to march. We continue to show up just like you do in your small business every day, folks. And John Warlow knows all about that. John's our guest and the author of the brand new book I'm very excited about for him, Built to Sell, How to Turn Your Business into One You Can Sell. And folks, John knows all about this. This isn't some ivory tower book. This is a book that's been written by somebody who's been there, done that, and didn't just buy the T-shirt, sold the T-shirt. And John, the book, the website is builttosell.com.
That's right.
Check that. And they don't forget, there's that four minute little test you can take, little exercise you can take to see if your business is ready to sell. John, what are some other things that we need to know about getting our business ready to sell?
I think one of the big things is to understand that a letter of intent, when you get acquired, you get a letter of intent, which is an offer to buy your business. And it's typically a non-binding offer, and it comes contingent on an acquirer going and doing 60 days due diligence.
Yeah.
And due diligence, if you haven't gone through it, is like the entrepreneur's proctology exam.
Yeah.
It ain't pretty. They unearth every element of your business. And what I'd encourage people to remember is that it is simply a letter of intent. It is not necessarily a binding offering.
Right.
So you're not, you know, you're not done until you get through diligence. It's important to survive that.
You gotta have, you can't have a thin skin, can you?
You cannot. And don't be surprised if the deal changes between the letter of intent.
It always does.
Yeah, entrepreneurs I talk to are so surprised by that, and I understand how they would feel surprised. But knowing that the letter of intent is not the final deal is important to manage your expectations through the process.
Yeah,
heard so many stories about entrepreneurs, you know, walking away from deals last minute because the deal changed. Well, it's going to change, and just expect it. The other thing to think about is find a broker. You know, this is probably the most biggest financial transaction of your life, bigger in many ways than, you know, selling your home. And most people wouldn't sell their home without a real estate agent. Find a broker. It's really important.
But it's important to point out that a real estate agent is not a business broker.
No. You're very
we need to make sure we point that out. Nothing against anybody there. It's just that your analogy is a good one, but don't use a real estate agent to sell your business.
No.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You want to use that professional.
And you need to shop around for the right broker. You need to check references, don't you?
You do. What I would advise people to do is talk to other business owners in your industry, ideally in your city, that have sold a business. Ask them who they use, because your broker should have both local market knowledge as well as industry knowledge, critical to getting the best price.
One of the things that you got to be prepared for, it happens almost every case, especially if you're selling your business. In your case, you sold your business to a larger company. Oftentimes, small businesses are being sold just to another individual, maybe another small business. So don't, you know, expect to take some of the financing back. You're probably almost always going to have to do that, aren't you, John?
You are. It's called the vendor take back, and there are instances where you're going to have to take either an earnout or, in fact, a loan and finance the sellers or the buyers of the business. That's very common. What you need to do to get the most cash up front is some of the things we've already talked about. Make sure you have a scalable product, repeatable, teachable, valuable. Make sure you've got a sales team and it's not dependent on you personally. Make sure you're focused on one product. You've got a long-term incentive plan for your employees so that you can show and acquire that they're locked in after you leave. Mm-hmm. You've got an M&A guy that's creative, competitive tension for the deal. You've told your management team you've got them locked in, and you're working through due diligence. All those things are important so that you can maximize the cash you get up front and minimize either an earnout or a vendor take-back in the form of financing.
Right. And folks, the deal is going to be a lot more, if you've never done anything like this, if it's done right, it's going to be a lot more complicated than you thought it was going to be, isn't it, John?
It is. It usually takes between 6 and 8 months to sell a business. From the time you decide, okay, I'm going to put it on the market, to the time you get the check in your hands, it's a 6 to 8 month process.
And that's
once you've got a sellable business.
Exactly. And once you've found people that, you know, you've got a market where people are willing to buy. So that's a good number to give the folks. Hey, John, give us the website one more time, please.
BuiltToSell.com.
That's the title of the book, too. So go there and check out that exercise, by the way, folks. Hey, John, congratulations again. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Jim. Hope you feel better.
I appreciate it. I will. Thanks. John Warlow, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I promise. I will be, too. But it'll be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blessingame. Thanks for hanging in there with me today.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.